Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Hi there, welcome back to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier from Odyssey's Nerd Talk. I'm your host, Gregor. Hi. And he's been making jokes about Uranus all weekend in the chat. He's our very own Florida man. Hello to Siege.
Nothing but sweet deliciousness.
Just when Jonas Vingegaard won the 2023 Tour de France, while Jordi Meus took stage 21 at the Champs-Élysées, after a grueling 21-stage race throughout France consisting of 3,404 total KMs, Jonas Vingegaard won the Tour de France for the second year in a row on July 23rd. And you'd thought that that would have brought Brandon back, but it didn't. So.
Of course not. Brandon has abandoned us.
Yeah, hopefully he's well, or maybe not dying of scurvy at sea or something. But.
The babies have taken over. There's no chance for him.
I saw one picture of him where he looked real tired. So, all right, well, that's about right. Anyway, hi, Siege. How are you?
Hey, not too bad, Gregor. How about yourself?
Well, I can tell you I've been having fun over the weekend. That's a change for me. Usually I'm just doing dad stuff or whatever, but I really leaned into it this weekend. It was awesome. Real quick, neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong. I think I'm going to try to get something right, but we'll probably get it wrong later in the show, so we'll see how that comes out.
I mean, it's worth a shot, right?
Question of the week. I'm not sure. It might be over now, but somehow I saw a ton of ads for Shark Week, which seems like it's jumped the shark, pardon the expression, right? It's like, why are they still doing that? And I can't, it was like some preposterous thing. And I'm like, back when we like had basic cable and you would just be flipping through the channels and Shark Week would be on, great. But like Shark Week is unnecessary at this point. And here I am talking about it, but doesn't it feel stupid?
I mean, it's gotten to the point where I don't even know that any of it's true at this point. Like, wasn't there a thing that they came out with like a few years ago where that half the pro, like when it first came out and it was all the programming, the documentaries and the deep dives, and you're there with scientists and everything. Yeah. And then it slowly started becoming, well, this isn't factual and let's do this and superimpose and like make stuff up. And now I honestly have no idea what's real, what's not. The only reason I even know it's Shark Week is because my mom and half of her friends all think I look like Jason Momoa, and especially when he's dancing around during the commercials, they're like, oh my god, that's you.
I want to see for next year's Shark Week, I want to see a shark with AI performing stand-up comedy. That's what I want. It's Shark Week. What happens when a shark takes to the stage? We'll find out on Shark Week.
I would like to see one 24-hour block of just Left Shark from the Super Bowl doing that terrible dance. That's about it.
Now, I ask that because it's question of the week, right? If we could do a week about any animal, what animal would you pick?
Oh, wow. That's over the top. I mean, there's so many, but it's got to be, for me, if we're not doing Shark Week, yeah, we could go with one of those crazy land birds.
Oh, like, man, the big like ones?
Like either an ostrich or, no, better yet, a cassowary.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, like stuff like that. What are like the cassowary? There's another one that's like...
What's the one that looks like a cartoon? Its beak is just so big and hollow.
Toucan?
It looks like a toucan, but it looks like a giant toucan that would eat your head. But apparently they're like really sweet birds and they actually like to cuddle or something. I just saw this. It was on Discovery Channel or something. Now
I need a cuddle. That sounds great.
I know. Let's get you a big beaked cuddler.
I was going to make an insensitive joke, but I decided against it.
Anyway, I know what you were going
to
say.
For me, I want it to be, I love a sloth. I think you could do Sloth Week, and like you, potentially for Sloth Week, you could just have a feed that was running that was just on some sloths, and like you wouldn't even have to worry about having a cameraman that was that active because they're sloths, so they go slowly and just like maybe set up a tracker on it and just have a live feed of Sloth Week. Who needs Discovery for this? Let's just do it ourselves.
That's an amazing thing, because you know how many people actually really, really are into sloths. Like, yeah. I swear to God, I saw something on like Kristen Bell, the actress, and she loves sloths so much. And I guess her husband 1 year had a sloth visit her for her birthday, and she was in such hysterics crying about how happy she was, she couldn't even like handle it. She couldn't come and visit the sloth. Ooh, I found the bird.
Yeah.
It's called a shoebill.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this sucker right here.
I'm looking it up.
It looks evil.
Oh, yeah, look at him. He looks hilarious. He looks
but he's so sweet.
Like a wise old Star Wars character.
Yes. That's exactly what I thought the first time I saw him. I was like, this is something right out of the bar. Yes. But apparently he's a huge cuddler. I saw it on one of the animal shows. And the guy was out there.
Cuckold, not a cuddler. He's forced to watch his mate with someone else.
Just sit back, enjoy.
All right, well,
wow. Did you hear that?
No.
It is a mega thunderstorm outside right now.
I'll never understand Florida. I've been there several times, and the last time I went, I couldn't get the windows in the car to not be fogged up, and your weather and lifestyle makes no sense to me.
It's a wonderful thing. Just like this, the summer, you get these afternoon thunderstorms that are just like catastrophic just about anywhere in the nation. But 20 minutes later, it's literally clear and it's the most beautiful sunset you've ever seen.
Oh, I love that.
Do you realize that actually, sidebar, that it's been almost exactly a year since you were last here?
It's very close, yeah. I said that when I got in my car the other day and it was fogged up on the inside and I was in Indiana and I was like, oh, nice try, Indiana. Okay.
On that last trip here, you didn't get a chance to make it to a store that we saw, the dinosaur store and museum. So while I was up at Kennedy Space Center this weekend, watching some launches, enjoying some people, I had to stop by and I had to get you a little something.
That's amazing. It's a Starbucks knockoff. It says Star Rex Coffee, and there's a giant Tyrannosaurus head on it. It says the dinosaur store at the bottom. Okay, cool. That's amazing. Thank you.
You're very welcome. If you couldn't be there, at least you can pretend.
I ordered a shirt from NoFX when I went to over the weekend. They sold out of them, but I ordered it. It's Nirvana's In Utero, the angel that's on the front. Instead, it's Eric Melvin, the guitar player, playing guitar on it, and it's I'll send it to you. It's incredible.
That's so cool.
Actually, I want to touch on this for a second. I have a non-nerd talk related musical tickets ethics question for you.
Okay.
So I found myself in a weird situation. My buddies and I bought tickets to see NoFX on Saturday night, and they were playing two nights, Saturday and Sunday. So we went and saw Pennywise and Strung Out and NoFX, and it was the crunchiest place that like the people that were there had like crawled out from under something to show up for this punk rock show. It was amazing.
Sounds perfect.
I came from an event where I was a costume contest where I was a judge for which dog was the best dressed. And so I showed up to that and my buddy just looked at me. He's like, you look like a cop. I'm like, all right, well, cool. So yeah, that's just wearing like a buttoned shirt or whatever it was. So, we go to the show. We have a great time. NoFX plays for their 2 hours. They're awesome. Not good, but they're awesome. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's one of the best times I've ever seen them, actually. And then my buddy is kind of, you know, intoxicated. And he's like, we're coming tomorrow. And I was like, yeah. And I was a full on like, no, there's no way to pull that off. And so I get home and there's a tweet from, I'm going to preface this because I want to be clear that I'm not trying to throw shade at anybody. I just want to know what the right way to do this is, because there's all these weird situations like this where you get kind of into these like uncomfortable places when there's stuff that's like not clearly laid out. So my buddy Matt, he bought tickets for this. He bought 5 tickets and then he went out of town instead. And so he just had 5 tickets. And so he couldn't get rid of him on Saturday. And so I got home and saw his tweet. He was like, are you at NoFX? And I was like, yeah, it was great or whatever. And he was like, I had 5 tickets and they all went to waste. And I was like, oh, you don't happen to have tickets for tomorrow, do you? And so the morning he sees that and he was like, nah, they were all for today. And then he looks again and he's like, oh, wait, no, they were weekend passes. And I'm like, how do you not know what you Like, I'm getting ready to go out of town and be not know what you have, but okay, that's fine. And I was like, I just DM'd him and I was like, hey, if you want two of those to go to a good cause or whatever, I can, you know, I'll use them. And he was like, absolutely, just email me here and I'll send them to you. And so I just want to read this exchange and you tell me what you think. I guess I should have had this pulled up already, but because it got into this like uncomfortable, and I knew it was going to somehow as it was happening. I'll explain my friend Matt a little bit. We went out to shoot bow and arrow to do archery, like a bunch of different families. There's probably like four families. And at the end, it was like 32.50 each, and I had 35. And I was like, I'll just throw 35. And he was like, no. It's 32.50. I'll Venmo you 250 or whatever. Okay. So he's like very specific about it being fair and nobody having any hard feelings. So I emailed him and I was like, hey, Matt, it brings me joy that you're a NoFX guy too. Thank you. He said, here you go. Enjoy, smiley face. Okay, great. I'm ready to go enjoy. Then like a couple hours later, I get, hey, are you going to be using these? Maybe he's saying, are you going to be using these? Maybe is the question where the emphasis is right. And I'm like, yep. I'm just like, I'm not offering anything or whatever. Cause I didn't want to go. I like was just doing it because like I knew my friend would love it and like it's free, so I'll use it. But like otherwise 5 tickets for the weekend are going to waste. And he says, all right, thanks for letting me know. They were $120 each and I won't charge you, Greg. But if your friend has a Venmo, $50 sounds fair to me for the one. Thanks.
Oh. And so, man.
First of all, it was a weekend pass, so $60 a day, right? And so 50 is like, okay, like it's not a lot of money in terms of like it is a savings or whatever.
Yeah.
But the question is should he have said, if you want these tickets, they're $50 each before sending them to me, or was he okay to send them to me and then ask for money afterwards?
No, 100%. If you're going to make a transaction out of it where you need something in return, you definitely have to ask beforehand. Like, at least let me know, like, hey, you know, I was like, if I'm just going to eat these one, he was going to eat them. Like, I would never expect any sort of like reciprocation for that. Like, if I had like, you know, if I had like a 10 pack of tickets to the Marlins or the like any sports team or something like that, by all means, I would just like, and I couldn't use them, I would definitely want butts in those seats as opposed to them just going unused.
Especially since it's like a DIY punk rock band. Especially since it's like it's the spirit of it to me. Now, another time I got invited to go to a Seahawks game by whatever dude. They have 4 tickets and he was like, hey, do you want to come with me? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, cool, let's meet up. We'll get some drinks or whatever beforehand. Okay. So I show up and he's like, this is my other friend that you don't know. Our tickets aren't actually together. You'll be sitting with him over here. And you can just buy all the food and drinks for the morning. And I was like, oh, I thought you were just inviting me as your friend. And like, if I bought you a couple rounds, that would be fine. Cause otherwise it was going to waste. And no. Like, and I don't fault anybody for wanting to get their money back. That's not it. It's just like, hey, I got a couple extra tickets. They're $100 each. Is that something you want? And I'm like, oh no, I don't have that kind of money right now. Like, thanks or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like, oh no, it's not worth it for me to ruin my week to go to the Tacoma on a Sunday night and have to get up early and do that. And so again, like, I don't begrudge Matt for helping me out. And he was very clear about like, he would take care of me or whatever, but they wanted my friend to pay up or whatever. But I just thought it was the sequencing, the timing of it that doesn't, that math doesn't add up to me.
Yeah. That's not one thing I generally, you know, jive with, I guess. I mean, if I'm going to expect something back for him, I'm going to let people know on the front end. I'm not really going to be like, yeah, man, I was going to sell these tickets, but not, or I'm just going to eat them or not. If you expect something, you gotta let people know ahead of time, because otherwise, I mean, you put them in an uncomfortable position. And like you said with the Seahawks thing, if somebody had asked me for, say, face value of a Seahawks thing after showing up at the bar and kind of chilling beforehand, I'd be like, man, I'm sorry, I just can't swing it, you know, because I don't have that kind of cash. Those Seahawks tickets are expensive.
And I don't even like, I'm not a football fan. I was just I thought he wanted to hang out.
Yeah.
I was like, exactly. Oh, okay, we're not like that close, but I'll go out with you. That sounds fun.
Yeah, man.
But like, it's just we just need to do a better job as humans communicating what the intentions actually are, I think. And so, and again, like, Matt has been this guy that with the NoFX thing, he has been nothing but absolutely awesome to me at every turn. And so it's not like he's a shady guy or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's not being rude. It's just like, I could see the other side of it. We're like, hey, I got a chance here to get a, you know, I ate all of this money. Like, if I get something back, at least it's a small win. And I don't know Greg's dumb friend, so he can just pay for it. So now this is where I get a little bit passive aggressive. Okay. And I admit it. I read that and I was like, that was so mad, and maybe I had a couple beers or whatever, and so I sent him $100. I was like yeah. If it's that important to you that you make back some money, then I'm not going to be freeloading off of you for this. Like, it's not, we're not going to look back and be like, that time you did something nice for me, I could have just bought a ticket at the gate and spent a little bit more money, but like, I wouldn't have gone.
that's
the thing. And so anyway, my move after all this would be, and we talked about it before, and I was like, this is so nice of this guy to do this for me. So let's buy him a shirt or a poster or something while we're down there, because he didn't get to go. So let's get him something, so at least he gets to like get something for his money. And like, I thought as a gesture, that was going to be a way cooler move. Like, to be like, hey, man, like, you didn't have to do this for us. And like, we felt like that was really cool. So we'll like do something for you. I was going to text his wife and be like, hey, what size shirt does he wear? You know, or get him a hat or whatever. Just like something, so that way he has at least a sliver of, even though he wasn't there, it's like a piece of what happened.
Yeah.
But instead.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, not to like throw this for a different loop, but completely different situation, but similar thing is I was trying my ass off to get to that Pearl Jam home series when they played in what was then Safeco or T-Mobile, whatever it is. The Mariner Stadium. Anyway, when they were playing there, I was trying so hard to get out there. I was able to get tickets for the actual show. But then when it came to flights and everything else like that, that's where it backed up on me. So I had to kind of sell them and give them away. And when I mentioned that out on Twitter to, you know, several Sounders followers who happened to be following me, they were like, yo, I'm gonna be at the show, whatever. It's like, what size shirt do you wear? And I ended up getting like shirts from the show, and so many people were just like so cool about that. I actually dug that probably just as much as being at the show, but I didn't have to drop a grand to get out there on such short notice. So
yeah, it's there's just some sort of social constructs are all bullshit as far as I'm concerned, but like, you follow them, right?
Yeah.
And so there's just a little bit of etiquette about like, someone does something nice for you. Like, you go to someone's house for a barbecue, you bring a six pack of beer.
Yeah.
Guy gets me a ticket to a thing. Yeah. I'll buy the first round or whatever. And like, I don't expect anything from anybody, but it's just a nice gesture to do that for somebody.
Yeah.
So anyway, Matt, if you happen to be listening to this, I'm sorry that I just dragged you this whole thing or whatever, but again, my intention is not to be, I'm not ungrateful, and I just thought it was a weird sequence of events, and I wanted to make sure that I wasn't off the mark.
We are learning about the science of life. Works perfectly for the
All right, so Microsoft made an Xbox controller that is preposterous. It smells like pizza. Now, if your brain goes straight to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like crossover marketing, because they're starting to see ads for that, then you're smart. That's exactly where it's coming from. The turtles are known as pizza-loving teens, so why not make a sweat-covered gaming controller smell like the obvious pizza? Gross. Better than smelling like turtles, I suppose, a salmonella or whatever. Anyway, Siege, have you ever worked in pizza before?
Yes, of course. Hasn't everybody?
I have not, but I had a roommate that I lived with in college, and he did, and it ruined, like, he would come home smelling like garbage because the dough and the whatever gets stuck into your clothes and your skin and your hair, and he would, like, his, like, room just smelled like yeast.
Ooh. Yes, exactly. 100% yeast. Think of, like, sweaty gym lockers. That's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's and the so exact same thing.
He'd come home with a pizza, like, once in a while. But like, most of the time he came home smelling like a sock that's been in a butt, you know, like it's a little graphic, but
delicious.
So like, when I think of like pizza smelling anything, I'm like, I don't know. And then like the next thing you know, you smoke too many pots, and the next, you know, a friend comes back from the bathroom and you're licking the damn thing, or my dog Ladybug's chewing on it because it has flavor or whatever. And and then of course my brain goes to like, come on Xbox, let's make a pairing, so that way when that does happen, let's get the Baja Blast, you know, like a flavored remote for one, and then the
Absolutely. Like Mount, yeah, you had, you need to have a Mountain Dew controller. You need to have a pizza. Is it pizza? I want to say pizza flavored because I call everything flavor, but it smells like pizza.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Do you taste it too? Like, can you lick the controller and it tastes like pizza?
Well, I assume it tastes like chemicals, but, but also, but the scent is such a big part of taste. So
yeah, dude, that's, I mean, that just blows me away. Like, I don't know if I could just be sitting there holding a pizza while playing Xbox for so long. It's, that blows me away. What other, what's the next flavor that they're going to come up with? Like, is it going to be Taco Bell? Are we going to have burritos?
Oh, I'm in, man. I want that. I mean, Ranch, is the, Cool Ranch. It's got to be a Doritos controller. Like, you got
it. Yes. Cool Ranch. So
the way it works, Microsoft, this is from TheVerge.com. Okay. The controllers have a scent diffuser strapped to the back in the shape of a slice of pizza. Ooh. There's four variations in total. if you want a pizza scented controller, you'll need to enter by retweeting a post on the Xbox Game Pass Twitter, or X, as they call it, account now.
Ooh.
And whatnot. So I guess it's good that it's like a scent-driven thing. You're not just like rubbing the, I don't know, controller on your tongue.
Just keep rubbing it hard on your thigh to heat it up and like get the scent going harder.
Well, it's like scent. I saw a thing that was like, yeah, that myth about licking toads and getting high from it, it's real.
Ooh, yeah.
And people are trapping these frogs to try and get messed up, and I'm like, dude, that is a controller next. It sweats into your hands, and then you're like, whoa, this game is weird.
Somebody's going to have like an LSD-laced controller that they come out with on purpose. Oh my God. Yeah, speaking of that, like with the marketing of turtles, first off, yes, definitely glad it didn't taste like pond scum turtles. And they, if they do have a Splinter Edition, it should smell like old funky cheese from a sewer. I actually, one of my friends.
That smells like a Merkin.
Yeah. Bebop and Rocksteady. What do they smell like? One of my friends who actually has a young son, he happened to find Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pizza available in the store now.
Yeah, hell yeah. Like freezer section?
Yeah, the freezer section, just like frozen pizza. And of course, it's like, you know, some cheapy no-name brand or whatever, but you got a Ninja Turtle on it and a pepperoni pizza for like $5. Yeah, I'm in.
God, yeah. Who's it really for, adults or kids? That's a question.
I know, right? See, that's exactly what I said to her when she said this. I was like, look, they're marketing off our nostalgia to get kids to pick stuff up and be like, yo, I want this. And I'm like, you know what? Good for them.
We gonna get that.
Yeah. And then here, the same person sent me, as I was looking for that picture to find it, she sent me a 12-pack of hard Mountain Dew, all Baja Blast flavors, like hard Baja Blast, Baja Blast Pineapple, Baja Blast Fruit Punch, Baja Blast Mango. Like, I mean, come on, man. Like, they need to sell these at Taco Bell next, like over the counter. Oh
my God, it like read my mind as I was typing it into Google. I was like, where can I buy hard? And then it was like, Mountain Dew? Are you talking about Mountain Dew? And I'm like, I am talking about that.
It's the chip implanted in your brain.
It's about time it's useful for something.
I know.
Right? I can actually transition to that. I can play off that, okay? I had one or two different ways to go, but I don't know how you feel about the chips in our brains, the biometrics, but Amazon is installing their palm reading technology into all 500 plus Whole Foods stores around the country. Wow. It's not palm reading like Professor X sitting in that chamber and like reading your mind. It's not like wizard stuff. It's just a mystic or mysticism. It knows your palm print and then you just put it over the boop, and it like knows it's you. And then you don't have to have a card with you or remember your wallet ever or whatever.
God forbid I forget to log into Amazon to go shop and pick up and not have to pay for anything in a checkout line. So now I just hold my palm over it.
They're like, there seems to be some sort of substance in the way. Like, it's pizza grease.
Sure. Sure. Pal.
Going. Yeah. And like before, like to me, this is all terrifying because you'll get like pulled over by the cops and they'll be like, let me scan your boop. Okay. It says here that you're actually black. Shoot him. I'm not advocating for that. That is a criticism of whatever.
All right. Yes.
But like previously I would be so against, I'd be so disgusted by it. But my God, ever since I became a parent, I just don't like, I don't want his stuff on it, but well, yeah. I'm a lost cause at this point, so just like sign me up for all the things and feed me to the pterodactyls that we're going to re-engineer or whatever. Are you on board with it? Like, can you, where do you stand on it?
Like, it being at about the same stage in life as you are, like having a, you know, having a kid, being a quote unquote adult, they, like honestly, the internets have had all of my information since I was basically on MySpace.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, with every picture and every single thing. And I mean, you go in there and you code what music you like and everything back in the day. And then you get to Facebook. And now with, you know, you'll open the phone with my face. I pay for all of my cards are in my phone. I don't take anything out of my wallet anymore. I just tap the phone. Like, my phone has everything. Why not everybody else?
And that's just like, it's too late. Yeah. I was on Formula1.com the other day, and now I finally, after 3 years of it being a law or whatever, when it says cookie settings, I always open it up to say, like, well, what am I actually handing over? I'm just curious. And the required stuff for Formula1.com was like 20 partners that you are required to use the site. The not required one was like 100 different things that if you just say, yeah, whatever, you're just letting 100 different businesses have all your things. And just, just because people are like, oh, I can't read that, accept. And I've done that myself 1,000 times, so it's not like I'm better. But I finally just started looking to see who, more so who's trying to bone us rather than, you know, who's like is trying to stay out of our business. And so, yeah.
I noticed when I use any European or more specifically British news apps or even just their websites that when it says accept, decline, it also has an option where it's like you choose what it is and you can choose, you know, just accept the definite ones that you absolutely need and decline all the others. And then I started noticing like a lot of the newer US ones, like for anybody who is a hockey fan, the NHL app just automatically has a thing that it logs you into. It's just one app for all the different teams or whatever. And then some of the teams' arenas, like I know here in Florida, FLA Live Arena has their own app, and the Panthers now combined their powers to make a single app for them. And when I downloaded it the other day, all the information that it is asking for to load your tickets and everything in this specific app. Now keep in mind, there's a league-wide app that doesn't really require much, and you can do everything the same in it. But if you want your team specific app, this thing was asking for to be able to look at my pictures, to be able to read my emails, be able to like go, like I'm talking like some crazy personal stuff here, and it was all quote unquote required. I was like, are you absolutely kidding me right now? Like, I mean, there's just a point too far.
Except
like, yeah, everybody has everything. I'm not doing this. Oh, wait a second, I can order my beer ahead of time and just walk up to the counter and get it. Deal.
Yeah, check out my emails, it's mostly smut.
Yes. Whatever. Yes.
Yeah, I don't. I'm so torn on it, man, because like, there goes my voice cracking. By the way, real quick aside, back to NoFX. They were amazing both nights. The second night they played The Decline in totality, and we screamed every word for 2 hours, and it was so fun. But now I'm paying the price. So you just heard a pretty significant voice crack out of me, like I'm 14 all over again. And well, that's the should have heard me on the radio today. It's getting worse and worse.
Pretty amazing. Yeah,
so, like, you know, I think we've got bigger things to worry about than whether or not I can pay with my thumbprint. Like, I have a, in my house, I have a, I'm really, I think that word is ADD. It's like, I don't remember to lock my door and stuff like that. So I put on a, like a boop, 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 like thing.
Yeah,
And it will open. And then after 30 seconds, it immediately locks again. It's like, don't be stupid. And so, but it has a thumbprint reader on it. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't want to have to think at all when I go in. I have to pee so bad. And like, I just put my thumb up and it's like, all right, let's go. Mm-hmm. No key, no typing in a number, just like hand it right over and upload it to whoever you need to.
So. So at this point, you basically don't even need to wave your palm over anything walking in. They already have your information.
Well, most likely.
Yeah, I mean, like, even to get into my computer, it's, you know, all the new Macs and everything, they have the fingerprint to get in there. I purposefully use my middle finger just so, you know, because everybody else, you know, whatever, I don't care what they use, but I'm just like, this. So here, have a finger.
Adidas are once again teaming up with the longest primetime, like the longest running primetime television show, The Simpsons. They're releasing a shoe that I absolutely want. I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, Siege, but there's a link here to it at the top of the, whatever. It's a, the green and white, the white with green trim Stan Smiths are like an Adidas classic, and it's going to be adorned with the meme of Homer backing into the bushes.
Yes.
On the back of it, on the heel, like where the, you would use a, what do you call the shoehorn? What are the heel of the shoe there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to have him backing into the bushes. They'll use a green fleece embroidered under the back of the shoe with Homer already half consumed. Now, obviously, what they should have done is make one shoe with him half there and the next one with him almost all the way gone. So you see progress, but I digress. To get yourself a pair of the Simpsons shoes, August 18th is the release date for these. I guess a fair question. Are you a Simpsons fan? And have you maintained your fandom? If so, have you maintained your fandom over the years?
I most definitely am a Simpsons fan. I was watching them since they were on the Tracy Ullman show when they were terribly, terribly animated. And it, like, yeah, I just love, man, let me tell you, before I hit puberty, I was able to do so many voices. I was able to do all of them. I was big time into doing Bart Simpson just out of the blue, and my god, I just looked up these shoes. That's incredible. Have you looked up today?
No.
There's a brand new one is this new? This is Marge Simpson.
Oh, is it the blue all across the sides?
All over, yeah.
Yeah, the blue felt, like it's her hair, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy good. Yeah, man, so anyway, yeah, I watched pretty much religiously when, you know, we didn't have cable or anything like that, and there was only like four channels, all the way up through most of my 20s, I want to say.
Because it was on twice a day at 5 o'clock every day on some channel.
And then if you didn't catch an old one, there was always a new one, like Thursday night at 9 on Fox or whatever. And as I got older and had more quote-unquote responsibilities, I guess it kind of drifted off. But I mean, now it's one of those things that if I'm like bored and I'm flipping through a channel, Simpsons is always on somewhere. As a matter of fact, I think there's one channel that pretty much shows Simpsons 24 hours a day.
That's awesome.
And if I just happen to land on it, yeah, I'll sit there and watch, because it's ridiculous how relevant everything that they've ever done is.
Absolutely. They have Mr. Burns running for president, and he's just using all of the, not for president, for governor, and he's just using all of the shame tactics that a previous president did to get into the White House. I've recently gone back and started rewatching the older seasons. I've just watched season 2 and 3 so far, but I don't watch any TV, but I was like, there's something about the humor of The Simpsons that I miss. Mm-hmm. And going back now to it, the timing isn't right. It's not like, it is clearly an old show.
Yeah,
because it does weird stuff, but some of the jokes and some of the like setups are so ridiculous, and it's just absolutely wonderful. I stopped, like most people, I think I stopped around season 10 and just kind of maybe 11 or whatever, and just kind of like fell off. And then back in like, let's call it 2010, I started dating this girl who's like, this isn't fair, and I'm not going to apologize for it, but like, I know most of the funny people in my life are dudes. And I'm not saying that there aren't a ton of funny women out there, but I just haven't known any. The funniest woman I've ever known was, her favorite show was The Simpsons. And so she was still watching Sunday night at 7 o'clock or whatever, 8 o'clock, to like watch the new episodes, which somebody still is, evidently, because it's still out there. And her sense of humor was incredible. She was like so fast with Simpsons references and then burning me with The Simpsons, which I like, man, respect. And so I like watched like, you know, we dated for a while. I watched like probably a season worth of like season 23 or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was like, it wasn't like knee slapping funny, but it was still really good. I couldn't believe it that it was just like the less hard that they try to be ridiculous and the more they just like make decent episodes of stuff. It, like they're really like Homer's like the ultimate like punk rocker who has a heart. And then like, so you see like situations that pan out with the type of resolution that you need for that type of character. And like, it's really satisfying. It's like clear that, again, I don't know who watches this anymore, but it's clear that it's still doing something right, that they keep getting re-signed. So,
I mean, it's almost 30 years at this point, isn't it? That they've been on. I'm pretty sure it's like 29 seasons.
And I got to break it to you. I think they started in 91. So I think it's 32 years.
Oh my God. Yeah. See, I've lost
all those. Right. It's crazy. It's like,
anything after the pandemic, anything in the before times, it just knows.
Oh, it started in 89. Okay. And so it's on its 34th season right now.
Unbelievable. So 34 seasons, anything that's lasted that long has to have some legs, has to be doing something right, because of all the turnover and all the generations that come and follow that, you're not, I mean, like you said, like we kind of phased out and a new group had to phase in, and it's just kind of cycling over and over like that. Like, there's
who's watching it now though, man? I just don't.
I mean,
if I make Simpsons jokes on the radio, does anyone get them that's not our age? You know, like,
yeah, for real.
It's like, Mono, no.
Yeah. If I'm making, if say you're making a Simpsons joke from season 32, like what group is getting that? That's going to be like, you know, the Zillennials and, it's crazy to me. There's only two shows that I've seen. Like, there's one thing that we know about as a comedian. One thing that we've always talked about is comedy does not age well. And if you're able to find something that is still funny and still pokes the right button for that long, and there's really only two shows that have done it, and it's The Simpsons and Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And it's because the two of them literally just poke the people who hate it anyway. So it's like they just keep going after the people who don't want it to last. They just keep going after them. And that's what makes it funny.
There's got to be a new season of Sunny coming up, right? Because I've seen them popping up into my feed a little bit.
I'm pretty sure that they just finished filming 16, and 16 might have just been released. So that's 16 seasons of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Now, granted, they only do 10 episodes or whatever, maybe 12. And so it's easier to, but you know, they've got more than 100 episodes.
Yeah. I mean, that, like, try going back and starting and watching that from season one. Like, you'll definitely see a difference for sure, if not in the wrinkles in the forehead. Like, just because, like, that, like, you got to think about that live action stuff. They've been doing that over 20 years now for 16 seasons with the pandemic thrown in there and everything.
Yeah.
And then Simpsons, that's 34 seasons. Holy crap. Just thinking about the amount of wear and tear on some of those guys' voices.
Yeah, what happens when Dan Castellaneta dies because he's a million?
Or Hank Azaria.
Yeah.
What goes on there? I mean, like, between AI? The two of them. Yeah, right? They're probably, at this point, they've probably got so much in the system, so to speak, like out there in the cloud. Yeah. Like, you could just do everything. Like, whatever that one program is that you can go to the internet and just feed it a script and it'll read it in your inflection.
Google.
Yeah, Google. Anything. Siri. Any of them.
Yeah, it's I saw just a thing that I didn't dig into it, but it was like that you can put yourself into a South Park episode and like you can use AI to write yourself into it.
That's so you're actually insane.
Like, that blows my mind. All right. I can't decide. I think I'm ready to switch to end on a positive to balance all the terrible out. A Purdue engineer found himself in the Guinness Book of World Records for inventing the whitest ever paint. Oof. Goes on fences, and it's put on by Tom Skerritt. No, it's according to the story at NewYorkTimes.com, it bounces 95% of the sun's rays away from the Earth's surface. That's why he was developing it, as he was trying to reflect dangerous rays that are heating the planet up back up through the atmosphere. It ended back to deep space. A few months later, they announced, this is back in 2020, so it's been a few years ago. A few months later, they announced an even more potent formulation that increased the sunlight reflection to 98%. And so rather than having every rooftop be metal or black or whatever, you paint it white and try and reflect some stuff back. My dog could stand to, she's a doodle, she's covered in fur, she could stand to be painted in it so she's not so damn hot all the time. I like that. Maybe a suit for her or something. But you get to start to think about, like, this is where my, what do you call it? What's the thing that Conan O'Brien says not to have? Where your cynicism, this is where my cynicism kicks in, and I'm sorry, Conan. I know he's listening.
shout cynicism, out to Conan.
Yeah, what's up, dummy? is that, like, from the little I understand about atmospheric science, is that the problem is that the sun's rays come down and they hit the Earth, and they're in whatever form that they are, and then they bounce off and go back into space. But the X-rays, the more stuff you have in the atmosphere, they bounce off of the Earth, and then they hit the atmosphere, and then they bounce back down to the Earth, and then they hit the atmosphere again, and they get stuck in between the cloud cover and the land, which is how effectively you keep going. It's the greenhouse gas emission traps those in, and then you end up with a Venus, which is 850 degrees average Fahrenheit all the time. And so
what's that in Celsius?
What's
don't worry, I'll look it up.
What's that in Kelvin? But so the notion that you could use this paint to reflect stuff back, like, is it able to reflect back the difficult to get through stuff, or do we still have to figure out how to clean up the sky first and then use this to maintain it? I imagine that it's, I'm trying to be more like this in my life, that it's not an absolute. I'm sure that if you, like, stop trapping so much heat on the Earth because you're not using black materials to capture it, that that'll be helpful. Get us one step closer. But I want to know, like, what the effectiveness is on those types of rays, so that way we can see if we can maintain.
Well, first of all, when you said the whitest color of paint ever, I was thinking of a nice deep salmon. just for those polo shirts at the country club. But
my brothers were both just like, oh, how dare you?
Oh,
those are golf shirts, not country club shirts.
Yeah, sure. Go play some golf in them. Anyway, yeah, like I remember years back when there's somebody who came out with the blackest shade of black.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's hard to look at.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
It's like you're literally looking into the abyss. And the guy copyrighted it and nobody could ever use it. And then I think somebody came out with the bluest shade of blue and now with the whitest shade of white and the ability to reflect. I remember, let's put it this way. This is an actual applicable thing to me here in Florida. When I had my first condo and we're literally like a mile from the beach. The sun is baking down all the time. And we had the black tar roof on top of it. It was a flat top roof.
Yeah.
Like a lot of places down here have something that's called like a Bahama roof, which has like little, almost like bowls going down it. It looks like little cups on the top of it that when it rains, the rain kind of holds the water on there and keeps it cooler throughout the day. And This is like old school tech. And mine just had a flat top roof on it with a black tar top. And I remember one year they decided they were redoing the roofs and they were just going to paint white on top of the surface. Oh, and yeah. I kid you not, when they painted the white on top of it, everybody's electricity bill went down like $75 just on air conditioning alone.
Awesome.
It was the biggest difference. Now, when we're bouncing, you know, whatever gamma rays the Hulk doesn't use back up into the atmosphere, the way I look at that is like, I'm like, with all the urban sprawl and like cutting down a rainforest and every other thing taking up every other sort of land environment, we don't have like the actual physical ground to absorb those rays anymore. I don't know if it's so much more that we're reflecting it unless every building starts using it or we install solar or whatever, but we just can't absorb it anymore.
So the, like in Phoenix, they have that, or I lived in Arizona forever, and Phoenix and Tucson, they have the urban sprawl where you're putting in asphalt everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's trapping the heat in it and you're taking away the, whatever the natural properties the land has that it's like adapted or suited for that type of sunshine or whatever. And you're throwing it out of balance, like you're saying. Then people add pools because they're hot and then the pools introduce humidity and it makes this unnatural ecosystem, which is like, to your point, it's like it's like as we sprawl, is it, what extra damage are we doing?
Yeah, and like it's, that goes to another thing down here. You will never, you hardly ever see AstroTurf athletic fields down here. Not because, you know, I mean, granted, we are the Sunshine State. We get tons of sun all year round. We get enough rain to maintain everything. But when people try and put down the AstroTurf fields to kind of make it easier on themselves, they don't have to do any maintenance or anything.
Yeah.
The
Washington.
My dad. Yeah, exactly. And my dad, who was turf management for basically his entire life, since he was like 12 years old, he was working on lawnmowers and all that kind of stuff, and just retired last year. So he would tell me about like when the city he worked for was trying to put in AstroTurf fields everywhere, and they tried experimenting with one first. That field would get up to 120 degrees on the surface, and we're talking about like 1 o'clock in the afternoon on just like a regular day. We're not talking about this like extended heat wave that we've been in right now.
Right.
And it got to the point that it would reflect so much heat that if you were to wear like athletic shoes or cleats or something on the bottom of it, you'd literally be melting the bottom of your shoes. And God forbid you fell or play soccer, slide tackle.
Yeah.
You're getting like actual burns on top of you instead of just like rash, like grass rash from slide tackling. You're getting physical, like first degree burns.
Legendary Sounders goalkeeper Casey Keller always wore long pants because you don't want to go sliding across that hot AstroTurf and burn up your legs.
Yeah, and on top of it,
field grass or what, a field turf or whatever it's called. I saw a thing today that MLS is considering the notion of requiring teams to play on grass.
Because, I mean, that'd be obviously that's a great thing. I mean, granted, all you need to do is have Messi come in and say, "I don't want to play on turf."
That's exactly what's happening. Is that
exactly
Messi joining? He's like, because a lot of these people won't play on it because it's unnatural to what they've done, and they're worried about big sports injuries. I've heard that in football, they can justify it either way. That they can say, "Well, grass is better because of this," and then other people say, "Well, no, turf is better because of whatever reason." I don't know what the reasons are, but like football does a good job of being like, "No, no, no, turf, turf, turf."
Yeah, football, I think their reasoning is because it's really hard to maintain the grass fields so they don't get torn up and everything. I mean, there was a reason down here in Miami in Joe Robbie Stadium that it was always voted as like the best turf in the NFL until they went and put in a baseball field, of course, so they had to cut up a big old dirt diamond down the middle of it. But it was, you know, it's thicker grass, sun, rain, just well taken care of. But you get up into places like Seattle where it's raining and there's not always that kind of sun, and your grass, when you come down here and you look at our grass, you sit here and think of like prehistoric finger bushes, like growing out of the ground.
Yeah.
And up there, it's just little tiny flecks of whatever. And it's like a golf course everywhere. And you step on it the wrong way on the wrong day and it's toast.
Yeah, but the Mariners have a hard time with their turf to be able to keep it, even just with limited play with the guys standing around in the outfield.
And you think about Tottenham's new stadium over there in London, and where they have the NFL play in their European matches or European games or NFL matches for football. When they put soccer, Jesus. so when they're actually playing soccer, they have the natural turf field on the ground. But when football comes in, they actually remove the natural turf from on top of it. And the AstroTurf is below that. So they have a full AstroTurf field for them to play football on, so they don't tear up their amazingly pristine soccer field.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that. That boggles my mind that they would go.
Yeah, they were actually talking about that because I know Arizona has the natural grass field.
Oh, it's awesome. They grow it outside and then they roll it in when it's time to play.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Primetime, like the longest running primetime television show, The Simpsons. They're releasing a shoe that I absolutely want. I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, Siege, but there's a link here to it at the top of the whatever. It's the green and white, the white with green trim Stan Smiths are like an Adidas classic, and it's going to be adorned with the meme of Homer backing into the bushes.
Yes.
On the back of it, on the heel, like where you would use a, what do you call the shoehorn? What are the heel of the shoe there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to have him backing into the bushes. They'll use a green fleece embroidered under the back of the shoe with Homer already half consumed. Now, obviously, what they should have done is make one shoe with him half there and the next one with him almost all the way gone. So you see progress, but I digress. To get yourself a pair of the Simpsons shoes, August 18th is the release date for these. I guess a fair question. Are you a Simpsons fan? And have you maintained your fandom? If so, have you maintained your fandom over the years?
I most definitely am a Simpsons fan. I was watching them since they were on the Tracy Ullman show when they were terribly, terribly animated. And it like, yeah, I just love, man, let me tell you, before I hit puberty, I was able to do so many voices. I was able to do all of them. I was big time into doing Bart Simpson just out of the blue, and my god, I just looked up these shoes. That's incredible. Have you looked up today?
No.
There's a brand new one is this new? This is Marge Simpson.
Oh, is it the blue all across the sides?
All over, yeah.
Yeah, the blue felt like it's her hair, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy good. Yeah, man, so anyway, yeah, I watched pretty much religiously when, you know, we didn't have cable or anything like that, and there was only like four channels, all the way up through most of my 20s, I want to say.
Because it was on twice a day at 5 o'clock every day on some channel, like it
exactly.
Was like, yeah,
and then if you didn't catch an old one, there was always a new one, like Thursday night at 9 on Fox or whatever. And then, yeah, as I got older and had more quote unquote responsibilities, I guess it kind of drifted off. But I mean, now it's one of those things that if I'm like bored and I'm flipping through a channel, Simpsons is always on somewhere. As a matter of fact, I think there's one channel that pretty much shows Simpsons 24 hours a day.
That's awesome.
And if I just happen to land on it, yeah, I'll sit there and watch, because it's ridiculous how relevant everything that they've ever done is.
Absolutely. They have Mr. Burns running for president, and he's just using all of the, or not for president, for governor, and he's just using all of the shame tactics that a previous president did to get into the White House. I've recently gone back and started rewatching the older seasons. I've just watched season 2 and 3 so far, but I don't watch any TV, but I was like, there's something about the humor of The Simpsons that I miss. Mm-hmm. And going back now to it, the timing isn't right. It's not like, it is clearly an old show.
Yeah,
because it does weird stuff, but some of the jokes and some of the like setups are so ridiculous, and it's just absolutely wonderful. I stopped, like most people, I think I stopped around season 10 and just kind of maybe 11 or whatever, and just kind of like fell off. And then back in like, let's call it 2010, I started dating this girl who's like, this isn't fair, and I'm not going to apologize for it, but like, I know most of the funny people in my life are dudes. And I'm not saying that there aren't a ton of funny women out there, but I just haven't known any. The funniest woman I've ever known was, her favorite show was The Simpsons. And so she was still watching Sunday night at 7 o'clock or whatever, 8 o'clock to like watch the new episodes, which somebody still is evidently, because it's still out there. And her sense of humor was incredible. She was like so fast with Simpsons references and then burning me with The Simpsons, which I like, man, respect. And so I like watched like, you know, we dated for a while. I watched like probably a season worth of like season 23 or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was like, it wasn't like knee slapping funny, but it was still really good. I couldn't believe it, that it was just like, the less hard that they try to be ridiculous and the more they just like make decent episodes of stuff, it, like they're really like, Homer's like the ultimate like punk rocker who has a heart. And then like, so you see like situations that pan out with the type of resolution that you need for that type of character. And like, it's really satisfying. It's like clear that, again, I don't know who watches this anymore, but it's clear that it's still doing something right, that they keep getting re-signed. So,
I mean, it's almost 30 years at this point, isn't it, that they've been on? I'm pretty sure it's like 29 seasons.
I got to break it to you. I think they started in 91. So I think it's 32 years.
Oh my god. Yeah, see, I've lost
all those. Yeah, right? It's crazy. It's like
anything after the pandemic, anything in the before times, it just knows.
Oh, it started in 89.
Okay.
And so it's on its 34th season right now.
Unbelievable. So 34 seasons. Anything that's lasted that long has to have some legs, has to be doing something right. Because of all the turnover and all the generations that come and follow that, you're not, I mean, like you said, like we kind of phased out and a new group had to phase in, and it's just kind of cycling over and over like that. Like there's
who's watching it now though, man. I just don't,
like, I mean,
if I make Simpsons jokes on the radio, does anyone get them? That's not our age, you know, like,
yeah, for real.
If I, it's Mono, like, no.
Yeah. If I'm making, if say you're making a Simpsons joke from, season 32, like, what group is getting that? That's going to be like, you know, the Zillennials. And and it's crazy to me. There's only two shows that I've seen. Like, there's one thing that we know about as a comedian. One thing that we've always talked about is comedy does not age well. And if you're able to find something that is still funny and still pokes the right button for that long, and there's really only two shows that have done it, and it's The Simpsons and Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and it's because the two of them literally just poke the people who hate it anyway. So it's like they just keep going after the people who don't want it to last. They just keep going after them, and that's what makes it funny.
There's got to be a new season of Sunny coming up, right? Because I've seen them popping up into my feed a little bit.
I'm pretty sure that they just finished filming 16, and 16 might have just been released. So that's 16 seasons of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Now, granted, they only do 10 episodes or whatever, maybe 12. And so it's easier to, but they, you know, they've got more than 100 episodes.
Yeah. I mean, that, like, try going back and starting and watching that from season one. Like, you'll definitely see a difference for sure, if not in the wrinkles in the forehead. Like, just because, like, that, like, you got to think about that live action stuff. They've been doing that over 20 years now for 16 seasons with the pandemic thrown in there and everything.
Yeah.
And then Simpsons, that's 34 seasons. Holy crap. Just thinking about the, like, the amount of wear and tear on some of those guys' voices.
Yeah, what happens when Dan Castellaneta dies because he's a million?
Or Hank Azaria.
Yeah.
What goes on there? I mean, like, between AI? The two of them. Yeah, right? That probably, at this point, they've probably got so much in the system, so to speak, like, out there in the cloud. Yeah. Like, you could just do everything, like, whatever that one program is that you can go to the internet and just feed it a script and it'll read it in your inflection.
Google.
Yeah, Google. Anything. Siri. Any of them.
Yeah, it's I saw just a thing that I didn't dig into it, but it was like that you can put yourself into a South Park episode and like you can use AI to write yourself into it.
That's so you're actually insane.
Like that blows my mind. All right. I can't decide. I think I'm ready to switch to end on a positive to balance all the terrible out. A Purdue engineer found himself in the Guinness Book of World Records for inventing the whitest ever paint. Oof. Goes on fences, and it's put on by Tom Skerritt. No, it's according to the story at NewYorkTimes.com, it bounces 95% of the sun's rays away from the Earth's surface. That's why he was developing it, as he was trying to reflect dangerous rays that are heating the planet up back up through the atmosphere. It ended back to deep space. A few months later, they announced, this is back in 2020, so it's been a few years ago. A few months later, they announced an even more potent formulation that increased the sunlight reflection to 98%. And so rather than having every rooftop be metal or black or whatever, you paint it white and try and reflect some stuff back. My dog could stand to, she's a doodle, she's covered in fur, she could stand to be painted in it so she's not so damn hot all the time. I like that. Maybe a suit for her or something. But you get to start to think about, like, this is where my, what do you call it? What's the thing that Conan O'Brien says not to have? Where your cynicism, this is where my cynicism kicks in. And I'm sorry, Conan. I know he's listening.
shout out to Conan.
Yeah, what's up, dummy? is that, like, from the little I understand about atmospheric science, is that the problem is that the sun's rays come down and they hit the Earth. And they're in whatever form that they are. And then they bounce off and go back into space. But the X-rays, the more stuff you have in the atmosphere, they bounce off of the Earth and then they hit the atmosphere and then they bounce back down to the Earth and then they hit the atmosphere again and they get stuck in between the cloud cover and the land, which is how effectively you keep going. It's the greenhouse gas emission traps those in and then you end up with a Venus, which is 850 degrees average Fahrenheit all the time. And so
what's that in Celsius?
What's
Don't worry, I'll look it up.
What's that in Kelvin? But so the notion that you could use this paint to reflect stuff back, like, is it able to reflect back the difficult to get through stuff, or do we still have to figure out how to clean up the sky first and then use this to maintain it? I imagine that it's, I'm trying to be more like this in my life, that it's not an absolute. I'm sure that if you like stop trapping so much heat on the earth because you're not using black materials to capture it, that that'll be helpful. Get us one step closer. But I want to know like what the effectiveness is on those types of rays, so that way we can see if we can maintain.
Well, first of all, when you said the whitest color of paint ever, I was thinking of a nice deep salmon, just for those polo shirts at the country club. But
my brothers were both just like, oh, how dare you?
Oh,
those are golf shirts, not country club shirts.
Yeah, sure. Go play some golf in them. Anyway, yeah, like I remember years back when there's somebody who came out with the blackest shade of black.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
it's hard to look at.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
It's like you're literally looking into the abyss. And the guy copyrighted it and nobody could ever use it. And then I think somebody came out with the bluest shade of blue and now with the whitest shade of white and the ability to reflect. I remember, let's put it this way. This is an actual applicable thing to me here in Florida. When I had my first condo and we're literally like a mile from the beach. The sun is baking down all the time. And we had the black tar roof on top of it. It was a flat top roof.
Yeah.
Like a lot of places down here have something that's called like a Bahama roof, which has like little, almost like bowls going down it. It looks like little cups on the top of it that when it rains, the rain kind of holds the water on there and keeps it cooler throughout the day. And This is like old school tech. And mine just had a flat top roof on it with a black tar top. And I remember one year they decided they were redoing the roofs and they were just going to paint white on top of the surface. Okay. And I kid you not, when they painted the white on top of it, everybody's electricity bill went down like $75 just on air conditioning alone.
Awesome.
It was the biggest difference. Now, when we're bouncing, you know, whatever gamma rays the Hulk doesn't use back up into the atmosphere, the way I look at that is like, I'm like, with all the urban sprawl and like cutting down a rainforest and every other thing taking up every other sort of land environment, we don't have like the actual physical ground to absorb those rays anymore. I don't know if it's so much more that we're reflecting it unless every building starts using it or we install solar or whatever, but we just can't absorb it anymore.
So the, like in Phoenix, they have that, or I lived in Arizona forever, and Phoenix and Tucson, they have the urban sprawl where you're putting in asphalt everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's trapping the heat in it and you're taking away the, whatever the natural properties the land has that it's like adapted or suited for that type of sunshine or whatever. And you're throwing it out of balance, like you're saying. Then people add pools because they're hot and then the pools introduce humidity and it makes this unnatural ecosystem, which is like, to your point, it's like, yeah, it's like as we sprawl, is it, what extra damage are we doing?
Yeah. And like, it's, that goes to another thing down here. You will never, hardly ever see AstroTurf athletic fields down here. Not because, you know, I mean, granted, we are the Sunshine State. We get tons of sun all year round. We get enough rain to maintain everything. But when people try and put down the AstroTurf fields to kind of make it easier on themselves, they don't have to do any maintenance or anything.
Yeah.
The
Washington.
My dad. Yeah, exactly. And my dad, who was turf management for basically his entire life since he was like 12 years old, he was working on lawnmowers and all that kind of stuff, and just retired last year. So he would tell me about like when the city he worked for was trying to put in AstroTurf fields everywhere and they tried experimenting with one first. That field would get up to 120 degrees on the surface. And we're talking about like 1 o'clock in the afternoon on just like a regular day. We're not talking about this like extended heat wave that we've been in right now.
Right.
And it got to the point that it would reflect so much heat that if you were to wear like athletic shoes or cleats or something on the bottom of it, you'd literally be melting the bottom of your shoes, and God forbid you fell or play soccer, slide tackle.
Yeah.
You're getting like actual burns on top of you instead of just like rash, like grass rash from slide tackling. You're getting physical, like first degree burns.
Legendary Sounders goalkeeper Casey Keller always wore long pants because you don't want to go sliding across that hot AstroTurf and burn up your legs.
Yeah. And on top of it,
field grass or what, a field turf or whatever it's called. I saw the day that MLS is considering the notion of requiring teams to play on grass.
Because, I mean, that'd be obviously, that's a great thing. I mean, granted, all you need to do is have Messi come in and say, I don't want to play on turf.
That's exactly what's happening. Is that
exactly
Messi joining? He's like, because a lot of these people won't play on it because it's unnatural to what they've done, and they're worried about big sports injuries. I've heard that in football, they can justify it either way. That they can say, well, grass is better because of this, and then other people say, well, no, turf is better because of whatever reason. I don't know what the reasons are, but like football does a good job of being like, no, turf.
Yeah, football, I think their reasoning is because it's really hard to maintain the grass fields so they don't get torn up and everything. I mean, there was a reason down here in Miami in Joe Robbie Stadium that it was always voted as like the best turf in the NFL until they went and put in a baseball field, of course, so they had to cut up a big old dirt diamond down the middle of it. But it was, you know, it's thicker grass, sun, rain, just well taken care of. But you get up into places like Seattle where it's raining and there's not always that kind of sun, and your grass, when you come down here and you look at our grass, you sit here and think of like prehistoric finger bushes, like growing out of the ground.
Yeah.
And up there, it's just little tiny flecks of whatever. And it's like a golf course everywhere. And you step on it the wrong way on the wrong day and it's toast.
Yeah, but the Mariners have a hard time with their turf to be able to keep it even just with limited play with the guys standing around in the outfield.
And you think about Tottenham's new stadium over there in London, and where they have the NFL play in their European matches or European games or NFL matches for football when they put soccer. Jesus. so when they're actually playing soccer, they have the natural turf field on the ground. But when football comes in, they actually remove the natural turf from on top of it, and the AstroTurf is below that. So they have a full AstroTurf field for them to play football on, so they don't tear up their amazingly pristine soccer field.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that. That boggles my mind that they would go.
Yeah, I think they were actually talking about that because I know Arizona has the natural grass field.
Oh, it's awesome. They grow it outside and then they roll it in when it's time to play.
Exactly, and there was talk about that in Seattle for Sounders/Seahawks, and like especially with the World Cup coming up in 2026.
Oh, they have to.
Yeah, they absolutely do not allow turf fields on that, unless you're playing in the Women's World Cup in Canada, which they had all the turf fields up there.
It's such BS, dude. That's so uncool.
Yeah, completely terrible.
Yeah, all right.
But yeah.
Well, let's get us some white paint, and then let's all lose our vision because everything is too reflective, and we'll have sunglasses made out of the black paint so it absorbs all the light, and then we'll have everything painted white so it reflects everything back.
This absolutely seems like something that's going to happen in another Bond movie.
That'd be awesome, man. And like anyone that lives in like tundra conditions would be used to it already, right? Or on the sea, I guess, if you lived in, you know, with the reflections there.
On Hoth.
Well, I'll see you in hell. Nerd talk, yeah. All right, Siege, thanks for joining us again. It's Nerd Talk Plus live on the Odyssey app every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and then available as a podcast as soon as I get my act together and post it as a podcast just after the show is what I definitely do every single time and never late.
Mm-hmm.
So find the podcast wherever you get your podcast. The Odyssey app is another place to grab that, and of course Odyssey is my parent company, so I'm going to always promote them and go get them. Next Tuesday, 10 a.m. we'll do it again. Thanks, Siege.
Anytime, Gregor.
Okay, bye-bye.
Love ya. Mean it.